Good morning. Let me start off. First of all, I'd like to welcome everybody to our interoperability event this week. It's great to see so many people out here. My name's Paul Lorimer, and I'm jumping in and give you a 30-minute keynote this morning, talk a little bit about Microsoft and interoperability. It's a great event. I'm very excited to be here. Today, I am the general manager of our Office 365 dedicated offering, but my job before that was actually running the interoperability team, and I remember some of our first Plug Fests, and they were nowhere near as well attended, so it is awesome to see as many people here on as many different topics. And the transition I've gone through has really been a great opportunity to see both the theory behind interoperability and really to see some of the customer demand and commercial necessity for interoperability. The team I run, the job I do today, is really delivering email to some of Microsoft's largest customers. And it's amazing to me, as I go out and talk to customers, talk through scenarios, how much of the conversation we have is about interoperability, is about what solutions can I plug into Microsoft's offering? What devices can I use? How does this all work? You know, some of the folks in the room may know me. I know some of the WAN acceleration vendors. I have multiple conversations with customers every month about how this works, and it's great to see some of the interaction and the collaboration that's gotten started through these events so that we can see those devices continue to move forward. One of the things I've realized is to the extent that we're not providing good technical roadmap, good interaction, good test suites and debugging, it actually holds my business back. When I go to roll out a new version of Exchange and the customers say, whoa, we can't take that version because the WAN acceleration devices that we have deployed to all of our tail sites that make sure that our entire network's not congested don't support that level of the protocol, and they stop me from upgrading, I can't deliver value. It actually causes customer satisfaction issues for me. So it's great to see both the Microsoft folks stepping up and all of you coming in and working with us, even from a very self-interested point of view. I've got slides, but I'm also going to talk a little bit off the cuff because sometimes that's a little bit more interesting. You will have seen over the last couple years that Microsoft's gone through some management transitions, and I hope gone through some transitions in how we approach the rest of the community and the rest of the ecosystem. We now talk a lot about cloud first, mobile first. And to some extent, that's a that's a marketing message that isn't appropriate for an event like this. But I'm going to spend 30 seconds on it anyway to talk about how I think it informs our interaction with the community and the ecosystem, and how it hopefully reflects a more realistic point of view about the world. So I've been at Microsoft for over 20 years. I've done a variety of different things, and there was a long time where we, excuse me, for better or worse, largely assumed that Windows was the only ecosystem that mattered. The only thing we really shipped was Office for the PC. There was a Mac version. They put some effort into that, but it was never a focus. And I think what you see today as we talk through this cloud first, mobile first, is a realization that the world has changed. That what our customers are demanding and what your customers are demanding is an ability to use a wide variety of devices. And as I say with all my customer meetings, I know everybody in the room uses nothing but Windows Phone, but actually outside there are a lot of people that use iOS and Android. And that's a huge realization that if we want to deliver value, Microsoft as a company in this environment, that we need to deliver value across that breadth of devices, across the breadth of the ecosystem. We need to deliver value on iOS and Android And realistically, really, there are 2 or 3% of the people in the world who care if we deliver that on Windows Phone. But I get a tremendous number of questions. Not only are you delivering OneDrive for Business on those devices, the questions are you letting MDM vendors interoperate? When you deliver Office for other devices, does it is it locked to OneDrive, or can it save to Box and to Dropbox? And I think if you look over what we've been doing in the past couple years, you will see a greater degree of openness than you have in the past about allowing interoperability, even at the broad commercial level, with services like Box and Dropbox, with MDM vendors. You know, the interoperability efforts that this team, and Michael in particular, have been working on are close to my heart. As I said, I spent 3 or 4 years on this. And it really is my belief that the more we're open, the more that we let you interoperate with us, not only the better it is for you, but the better it is for our mutual customers. And in the end, the better it is for building an ecosystem that's meaningful and material. So I talked a little bit about cloud first, really being about if we're going to deliver value out of the cloud, we can't pick the devices we deliver that on. And I know that drives some of you here. If we're going to deliver value out of the cloud, we need to be collaborating with network device manufacturers and folks who are adding value across all kinds of layers of the stack. And we really think about delivering value first. So you're going to see more value delivered into our cloud products faster than you will in our legacy on-prem products. And you know, I don't know that I need to talk a lot about mobile first. It again realizes that desktop PCs are not the only future of the universe. So fundamentally, we're looking to be more open and to work more closely with a broad set of folks across the industry and continue to improve, you know, relationships with both partners and to help improve relationships with our mutual customers. And again, some of you in the room know me, not very many of you, some of you haven't, but if you were able to shadow me, you'd actually find that there are numerous occasions where we sit down in concert with our customers and with third-party vendors and work through solutions, because that's what it takes to deliver value in a multipolar world. So I'm going to talk a little bit about Office 365. And again, I don't really want to make this a marketing plug, because I don't think you're all, you know, sitting here really noodling over which productivity platform you're going to go with. But I think we will talk a little bit about the momentum in the business, how we're shifting here, and how it represents an opportunity for you to service not only the traditional Microsoft on-premise deployments, but to really think about how the solutions that you develop and the solutions you bring to market also add value for customers who are consuming through the cloud. So great quote from Satya here, great outfit. we're very focused on making sure that we're enabling a developer platform on Office 365. I think as I look at what it means for us to shift from a shrink wrap software vendor to a cloud vendor, there's a shift in the way that customers look at us, and there's really a shift in the accountabilities that get put on us. Turns out that when we shipped server software on-premise, there was a certain level of fire and forget, right? We'd say, this is what we've got, you can buy it or not, and you can buy it and deploy it on-premise, and we'll help you, we'll provide APIs, we'll provide support, but it may not meet every scenario you need, and somehow we manage to exist at arm's length from actually being accountable about whether customers' needs were met. As we move into the cloud, customers lose a lot of flexibility. Now, that's not a knock on the cloud. It's definitely the innovation, the cost effectiveness makes sense. But they can't necessarily just hack some full trust code and throw some third-party applications on the servers, because they can't touch the servers. And what that means at least as I talk to the customers I deal with, is we need to do a better job providing extensibility and providing mechanisms for developers to integrate and operate with the software we're running in the cloud, because otherwise our customers are stuck. And I'll give you a small example. There's a set of businesses out there that require classification of email before it gets sent. When you hit send, you have to classify it. There's some banks we deal with that have to classify, does this contain, you know, PII data, personal financial data. There's a set of DoD entities that literally need to classify every piece of mail as top secret, secret, or not classified when they send it. Now, when they went and ran Exchange Server on premise, they'd throw a bunch of full trust code on there that would capture send events and force classification. Well, when they move to the cloud, that functionality doesn't exist. So I'm actually in a position of needing to fund work there to add new APIs that allow add-ins using our defined add-in mechanisms to capture those send events and raise UI. Now, we're hopeful that the vendors that go off and do classification will take advantage of that. I'm sure that there are other folks either in the room or out in the ecosystem who will take advantage of those capabilities to offer other features that we hadn't thought of. And the reason I share the anecdote is it really, moving to the cloud where we control all the server infrastructure raises the burden on us and raises the expectation from customers that we provide well-defined, accessible extensibility endpoints for the third-party ecosystem to use to provide functionality that the customers need that we don't provide. And the deeper I get into the specifics of vertical markets, there's a realization we're never going to provide everything all customers need. A closed infrastructure in productivity software for large enterprises, which is where I spend my time, is a hopeless thing. We need help from a lot of people to meet a lot of scenarios that we honestly probably don't even fully understand at this point. So, opportunity, here we go. We've 1.2 billion users, millions of mobile app downloads, people spend a lot of time in office, that's hardly a shock. We've got huge amounts of storage, and you know the opportunities for integration, whether it is working to create software, server software that interoperates with our clients that interoperate with our software, network devices that let users consume the cloud in more economic ways, or whether it's adding functionality and value on top of the platform. It is a growing platform. I think we expect within 5 or so years that the opportunity on Office 365 will probably outstrip, particularly for big enterprises that spend money, the opportunity for remaining pieces of productivity infrastructure running on-premise. This is really quick highlight of we're shipping Office 4, iOS, iPad, Windows Phone, I know that's what you all care about, Android, PC, Mac, and browser. It's really about beginning to deliver an experience and a value to users that's consistent across a real diverse ecosystem rather than diverse, well, maybe you know you bought a Dell or an HP PC, that's diversity. We're shipping the Office 2016 preview. We have a new set of universal apps. Those are the ones that run in the Metro user interface. So there's quite a bit of stuff coming out later this year. More touch optimized, but you really will see across Office and Office 365 attempts to build extensibility endpoints that make sense in this diverse world. And what that's going to mean is they're not going to be full trust add-ins to Word, that you're going to see extensibility more and more relying on HTML, you know, HTML5 and JavaScript add-ins, because those can run in a browser and those can run on a full PC. They can even run on a phone. You'll see more RESTful APIs, you know, web service based rather than, oh, here's a COM API, because COM APIs are relevant for a shrinking portion of the audience. I mean, they'll still, at least in my mind, still always be some set of folks running Outlook, Word, Excel on PCs on premise. That's not likely to go away in the immediate term, but as a percentage of the marketplace, it's no longer, you know, the 800-pound gorilla, the 95% choice. And we realized that we need to deliver ways for you to integrate where you can deliver value across the breadth of the ecosystem and not just to, you know, the shrinking legacy piece. So we think about this a little bit in terms of how do we allow you, extensibility where you can deliver API to users. And I think I talked about that a little bit. The other big piece is really how are we providing interoperability and access to the underlying data? And when I think about data, it's actually a fairly wide spectrum. It's not only the user's email data. You know, we provide, and I'll talk from my experience, lots of APIs to get it, and user data. But as we're introducing new functionality, we're trying to make that accessible to the ecosystem. There's a big product that we incorporated as Office 365 over the last year called Delve. And Delve is an interesting analytics piece, and it's built on an underlying object model that we call the Office Graph. And conceptually, you can think, if we've got a bunch of documents, we've got all your email, we know who you interact with, we can kind of build a relationship across an organization and annotate the edges of the, you know, those graph nodes with what topics you work with Michael on, what topics you do over here, and build a graph. Delve is a user interface that then helps you discover documents or emails across the company that you may want to interact with. We think there are a lot of opportunities for third parties to build on that graph. We have the ability to use Azure, to use machine learning, to build that graph based on access to a huge amount of data, but we're investing in exposing that API so that folks such as yourselves can build on it or can fire events in to help annotate that graph and make it richer and richer. Another aspect of data is really data around our services, how they run, what's happening. We are investing in building new API sets and working with SIEM vendors on making sure that we're producing log formats and trying to be transparent with telemetry data so that third parties can build software that allows customers to look at their cybersecurity risks, can look at whether or not they're seeing the expected benefits from adoption of a service. As we expose more telemetry, it lets folks do a better job of analyzing and evaluating usage data. So data really spans all the way from end user data to analytics built on top of that data, all the way to system telemetry. Excuse me. And gives an ability for an ecosystem to develop across that wide range of data. The Office add-in model is something that we've invested in pretty heavily here. 3 million monthly users, increasing rates of installation, and this is really that transition from those full trust add-ins that might only run on legacy Office to a model that runs in web browsers that actually delivers across the range of devices that users realistically use today. And I got a plug here, Wednesday at 1, you can drop in and learn more about that add-in model. So as we evolve the Office platform, we look at RESTful APIs, we look at improving the open specification experience. You know, I've looked through, I was responsible for some of the initial documentation, and while we worked very hard to try and make it useful, the format was pretty dense. Some of those documents are pretty long and hard to navigate. So we're continuing to invest, trying to make the material that we're providing more consumable. And I think the team is very open to, you know, trying to take feedback, because the goal of the interoperability program is to actually deliver value and have folks use this for interoperability, not just to have some set piece out there, you know, that's this tall that nobody's ever going to read through. You'll see more and more focus, I think, on open standards. Certainly, I've seen shifts within our development community, really since Satya took over, with an openness to using open source projects, to trying to adopt standards, to try and do somewhat less of this, we're going to make up completely new stuff because we can. It turns out it's very hard to support over the long run, and it doesn't put us in a very good position vis-a-vis the rest of the ecosystem, because it makes us harder to work with. And realistically, there are now alternatives, right? If you don't want to write apps for the PC, it seems like there's a bunch of apps out there for the iPhone that drive an enormous amount of money. So the world has evolved in a way that we're actually competing for developers and competing for interest in the ecosystem. And hopefully that drives us to do a better job of delivering something that's useful to you. Let me see, interoperability initiative. So this is just quick highlight of what we've done. This program's really, I think, we started the interoperability program in office in 2008. So we've been around now for 7 years. And the ramp is really amazing. We've run more than 30 events, thousands of participants. You know, I never imagined we'd see this many folks actually coming and being interested. And it's great to see that not only are you interested, I take it as a validation that the work we're doing is of value, because I don't think you just came to make me feel good. Keeping 900 specifications, more than 50,000 pages updated, providing a support experience. Really, hopefully, you get what you need when you run into problems. We're there to make sure that you can accomplish what you need to accomplish. And really trying to build a tool set that's meaningful. I know the parsers have gone through a number of iterations, and hopefully what we're delivering today is considerably more valuable than what we started out delivering 5 or 6 years ago. I know we're trying to build tools and automation that actually allow you to do validation of pure interoperability scenarios. I think you're delivering like Outlook automation now. I think one of the challenges in the past has been, you know, we can publish a specification and we can write a validation library, but if that validation library doesn't capture every assumption that a client makes, and I was a developer on Outlook for a number of years, I can tell you there's a lot of assumptions. I mean, if the interoperability libraries we give you don't capture that fully, they're not going to help you get where you need to get. So the ability to deliver automation suites that'll actually automate the client product and prove interoperability through the products you're trying to interoperate with, we are hopeful are a lot more valuable than some of the more abstract. I mean, you can, there's various levels you want to get to pure, you know, you meet the specification strictly, but there still may be client assumptions that you want to catch through running through the client. So I'm very excited about the project. I'm very excited to see all of you here. I'll be around for a little while after this. I know most of you are interested in getting into the actual testing, getting into the tool sets. But thank you again for coming. Hopefully we're delivering more of what you need and helping you get to a better place and really helping us get to a better place with our mutual customers. So thank you.